Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
You're listening to a man whose work is never done.
In a job like yours, even when it's finished, there's always one more thing to do.
And his job is to make your job easier.
It's a very difficult job, and the only way to get through it is we all work together as a team. And that means you do everything I say.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for staying with me. It's my pleasure, as always. You're going to be glad you did, because Cliff Inico is in the building, so to speak. Cliff is a longtime member of our Brain Trust. He's an attorney, but we love him anyway. He specializes in legal and tax issues for small businesses. He's an instructor at eBay University. He's the author of a number of books, including the eBay Sellers Tax and Legal Answer Book, also the eBay Business Answer Book, and he's our good friend. Cliff, welcome back to the show.
Jim, it's always a pleasure, man. How you doing?
You're doing great. It's good to have you back. By the way, you're going out to a big event. You're going to be emceeing a big event soon. Tell us about that.
In a couple of weeks, early December, December 9th, I'm going to be out in Long Beach, California, doing something for Entrepreneur Magazine. They're having their annual Entrepreneur of the Year Award. If you are a customer of a UPS store, you've been seeing those signs now for the last 9 months. They're going to be giving those awards out, and I'm going to be going out there. I'm going to be doing some presentations on internet marketing, believe it or not.
Imagine that.
A lawyer telling you how to market your business, Jim. Does it get any better than that?
Isn't that the signs of the apocalypse there, Cliff?
Something like that. Exactly. But I have a lot of fun kidding. With it, too, and I do a lot of this stuff, so it's kind of interesting. I share with folks kind of what works for me and what doesn't work for me, and try to make them laugh as best I can. But
one of the best teaching methods when somebody who's been there, done that, bought the T-shirt, talks about the things that didn't work for them?
You know, exactly. And I always tell people, you know, what do you know about marketing? You're a lawyer. I say, hey, listen, for the last 20 years, I've been teaching lawyers and CPAs how to market.
Maybe there's a lot of mistakes.
Jim, if I can teach a tax lawyer how to work a room, I can help you out.
Exactly.
You
can turn water into wine if you can do that, can't you?
just about. Except the wine would make it out the building. But that's another
story. There you go.
There we go.
Well, let's talk for a minute about... I know one of the things you do quite a bit is to help people start a business from absolutely scratch, from whole cloth, from a blank sheet of paper.
Uh-huh.
Talk to us a little bit about some of the things that you when you've got your charges at your knee and the classes that you teach. Talk to us about what you tell them.
Well, it's funny. The first thing I tell them, and you got to remember, Jim, I'm working a lot with people who've been downsized from big corporations. And
yep.
These are guys like in their 40s and 50s, or people in their 40s and 50s, and they are aware that corporate America is not going to be around forever for them. In fact, in this economy, it might not be around even now for them. So they've got to think of themselves, I call them reluctant entrepreneurs. These are people who are not sure that they really have what it takes to be an entrepreneur, but they have to give it a shot anyway because it's what they have to do to stay going.
Right.
You know, I teach them about what it takes to, the way the entrepreneur looks at the world. How does he look at the world differently? And one of the things I stress, and again, it comes back to marketing, is the business doesn't happen unless you make it happen. You're the one who's got to get out there. You're the one who's got to, you got to be the pearl in the oyster. You're the one who's got to be the irritant, mm-hmm. you know, that gets the oyster moving and that creates the pearl. You're the one who's got to go out there and sometimes like a bowling ball through 10 pins. You got to start doing things a little differently than the way other people are doing them around you. And it's tough for a lot of these people to make that transition, but I try to get
especially
them some tools
if they especially if they've been living in an insulated world of major corporations.
Yeah, it's true. It's like being in the
because they've had a very vertical job in a vertical mm-hmm. department in a vertical division of one side of the company.
That's right.
And when they become a small business owner, instead of being vertical, they got to be very horizontal.
It's exactly right. I mean, you're the director of HR, but you're also the one who's got to bring the food to the picnic. You know, it's
that's right.
You're the chief technology officer, but you're also the guy who's got to fix all the laptops when they break down. You know, and upgrade all the software. It's
right.
It's tricky for a lot of these people to make the transitions. But I'm always proud. I see a lot of people making the transition, and I'm very proud of them. They do me proud. I have a little sort of a wall of fame here in my office here of people
yeah.
who've made it, and I'm very.
What was the biggest thing that you think they learned? The people who, especially if they came from corporate America, what do you think is that? What is the breakthrough moment for them?
The breakthrough moment for them is when they get their first customer. I always tell them that. I said, when somebody actually shells out hard-earned money for
yeah.
whatever it is you do, and of course a lot of these guys are going into service businesses, you know, that's a magic moment when you realize,
yeah.
hey, there is money out there. These people do believe in me. They trust me. I can do this. That's
and to me, though, the more important magic moment, uh-huh. even than that, is when they actually come back and do it a second time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There you go.
I've always been excited when a new customer joins my organization, but I'm even more excited when they renew the next year. Cliff, hold on to that thought. We're going to take a quick break, folks. Cliff Inico is our guest. We're going to continue this conversation that we're having with Cliff about starting a business from scratch, from whole cloth. And then we're going to talk a little bit later in our visit about some things that all of us need to be focusing on before the end of the year. It's 20 till. Stay with us. We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com. That's where you can find the brand spanking new website that we just put up this weekend. I hope you check that out and use it to your advantage. And, of course, our knowledge base, askjim.biz. Check that out, too. We've built them both for you. No barriers to entry. If you can get there, we'll let you come in, hang out with us, use our stuff. Cliff Inico is our guest. Cliff is the author of the new book, The eBay Business Answer Book. That's the new one, isn't it, Cliff?
The new one, that's right. Yep. And
also eBay Sellers Tax and Legal Answer Book.
Yeah, that's it. That one's selling like hotcakes. That's like the only book that's out there that teaches eBay people about dealing with the law and taxes.
I can imagine everybody who's serious about eBay would have that on their desk.
Well,
not on the shelf, but on their desk.
Because I'll tell you, things are changing now. The IRS is waking up now to online commerce.
Oh, yeah.
They've been asleep for a number of years, but now they're waking up. They realize now they're losing a lot of money now because a lot of people are selling stuff on eBay and Amazon and Yahoo, and they're not paying their taxes like they should. So I don't know if you knew, but in the housing bill that passed last in July, there was a little provision in there. Starting in 2010 now, PayPal is going to be sending 1099s.
Wow.
To eBay sellers if they have more than like $20,000 of transactions
wow.
during a
PayPal and 1099s. I didn't see that coming.
So that means a lot of folks are going to get socked with tax bills. I mean,
right.
not the little people. I mean, I like the fact that they put that $20,000 floor in there. So if you're just selling stuff occasionally on
right,
eBay, I don't
right,
think you're going to have
right.
to worry too much about this. But
if you're doing $20,000, that's a serious bit of activity
say,
there.
If you're making $20,000, $30,000 a year selling on eBay and you're not paying your taxes, shame on you. You really should know that at that
exactly.
point. You know.
So you find all that stuff in the eBay Sellers Tax and Legal Answer Book by Cliff Inico.
That's
Cliff,
right.
And give us your website, too, before we go quick.
Yeah, it's cliffinico.com. I got a new one that I'm just going to get up and running around Christmas time. It's going to be called succeedinginyourbusiness.com, but that
all
one's
right.
not up yet. I'm still cliffinico.com, which is cliffinico.com.
Cliff, let's get back to talking about the startup thing. One of the things that I've been concerned about, Cliff, all the other downturns that I've been involved in going way back decades, there's one thing that's always been there to help us get out of the challenge that we'd have, the economic challenge, recession or downturn or whatever it might be. We always had a very vibrant and healthy, pretty healthy credit market. Always at the ready. If you showed up with a proposal that made sense to loan money for something, equipment or whatever it might be, but that's not there anymore. Today the credit market is pretty much in shambles to a large degree. There's still a lot of independent community banks out there loaning money, that sort of thing. But it seems to me that of all the times when a downturn was actually a good time to start a business from scratch. Without the credit facilities, the credit card access that we have had in the past, it seems to me like this would be one of the big challenges for startups right now. What do you think?
Yeah, well, I think you put your finger on it, Jim. This is what separates a recession from a depression in a big way. We've had recessions in the past, but you're right. There's always been a certain measure of liquidity. Banks tighten up a little bit, but they loosen the reins after a few weeks. I don't think that's going to happen this time. I think if you're going to be starting a business from scratch, you really got to be more creative in looking for funding now. You can't rely on the SBA loans and the home equity lines of credit.
Or the classic source of revenue for so many entrepreneurs over the last 20 years when they began, and that was credit card debt.
That's right.
Some of the leaders in their industries, I mean companies that are now leading their industry, began 10, 15 years ago when the founder put $90,000 worth of credit card debt on the books to fund the capital, to fund the business.
That's exactly right. And that's going to be harder and harder to do these days. I'm hearing stories. It hasn't happened to me yet, but I'm hearing stories about people whose credit line availability is being cut back.
That's been going on since the first quarter.
Yeah, I think so, and it's been happening now to people, and this is it. So that means you just got to get a little bit more creative in terms of, borrowing from friends and family if you can, borrowing from other sources if you can find a mentor or something like that.
How about this, Cliff? Here's something I think people ought to maybe this will help us get back to the fundamentals. You know what, folks? There is no better source of funds. There's no better source of revenue than the revenue. I should say working capital, than the revenue from a customer and the profits from that sale.
That's right.
And so all that means is you've got to focus on your customer, and it might take you a little bit longer to grow your business, Cliff, I think, than if you could go to the bank and borrow money and grow it faster. You just may have to grow more organically. What do you think?
That's right. Well, we have a name for that. We call it bootstrapping.
Yep.
That's something we haven't done in a very long time, but I think we're going to have to. See, I think one of the big mistakes that people make, Jim, when they're in a tough time, when they're in a recession, one of the first things they cut back on is their marketing budget. And I think that that's a mistake. I think that one of the things you have to really focus on when times get tough is who are the real customers that are out there buying, and once you know who those people are, you should be ramping up your marketing effort to those folks to get more business out of those folks. Because if you're getting revenue from customers, Jim, I'll tell you something, it won't be long before you'll be able to cover at least your fixed costs every month, and investors will wake up to you. The kind of people who might loosen their purse strings and help you out with some money will be more impressed because I represent some investors. I represent some angel investors, people who invest in startup businesses, and they all tell me the same thing. They say, Cliff, we're happy, even in times like this, we can find the money to help these people get from point A to point B, but we don't want to have to pay the light bill. Mm-hmm. The basic operating expenses, the fixed costs. If this business is not making enough money, their basic operating nut each month, my answer to them is going to be come back when you grow up.
Right. Exactly, because they want that operating money to come from customer revenue.
That's right. Exactly.
Yeah. Hold on to that thought, Cliff. We're going to take a quick break, folks. When we come back, we're going to get Cliff to talk to us a little bit about some things that all of us need to focus on before the end of the year. It's 10 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Here's Celine Dion to take us out. We're back at 7 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thanks very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Cliff Inico is our guest, and he's our good friend, the author of the eBay Seller's Tax and Legal Answer Book. And his new book is called the eBay Business Answer Book. Just look for Cliff Inico or look for eBay Books. He'll be there wherever books are sold. And they can also find out more about you at your website, right, Cliff?
You betcha.
CliffInico.com.
CliffInico.com, or just check Google me on the web and stand back because you're going to see a ton of stuff I've put up there for small businesses all over the place.
For a long time. Cliff, talk to us about some things that we all, startups and mature companies, all need to be focusing on before the end of the year.
Yeah, it's getting to be that time of year now. We just had our first frost up here in New England, so it's funny. Everybody else thinks about the holidays and Thanksgiving. I'm thinking about tax time. Like I guess that shows you what my world is all about.
So it's true. You really don't have a life, Cliff.
It really is true. Someday I'll find one. But seriously, now's a good time to start thinking about it. And especially nowadays, we all know that with a new administration in Congress, the one thing you can be sure of is that the tax picture is going to change.
Yep.
And we don't know how it's going to change as yet. I'm not even so sure that the new administration knows how it's going to change yet. But it's definitely going to change. And now is the time to start thinking about it. And especially about deductions. One thing that has definitely changed in our world, Jim, over the last 20 years, it used to be that you could go to your accountant and he would volunteer information about what deductions you could
right.
take. You
right.
know, there was a time, I mean, wink, wink, you know, Cliff, you do go
right.
to church every Sunday, and wink, wink, you do put $10 in the collection plate every
right.
day. That
right.
kind of stuff. That kind of stuff doesn't go on anymore now. Accountants are terrified about being sued.
Mm-hmm.
They are, you know, they look at the customer sometimes. They look at their clients sometimes as potential plaintiffs in litigation. And I hate to say it, lawyers are that way too. I hate to say it. We have to practice a little defensively these days. So that kind of stuff doesn't happen anymore.
Well, I asked a CPA about that one time, not specifically about what you were just saying, but about offering advice on certain things, you know, and they said, well, here's the thing, for us it's a lose-lose situation, because if we're right, we don't get any credit for it, and if we're wrong, then it's our fault.
That's exactly right.
Yeah,
that's exactly right. And I think you're seeing that mentality a lot more now. So more and more, the pressure is on you to know what you can and cannot deduct. So what I advise my people to do, and I actually just did a webinar on this for the NFIB, the National Federation for Independent Business, and one of my recommendations was that, you know, people start building a library. There are some books out there, including one of mine, that has, like, checklists of deductions that typical businesses
mm-hmm.
can take. You know, start investing in these. There's a lady named Barbara Weltman.
Barbara
Weltman
is an original member of our brain trust. Barbara's a good friend of ours.
Well, Barbara's a dear friend of mine, too.
Yeah.
Tax attorney, and she does a book, a small business tax checklist book.
Right.
I think it's for
J.K. Lasser. Exactly.
Does that. And that book is terrific because she lists them all.
Yep.
And then
thank you for recommending her. I'll tell her you did that.
Yeah. And then another one of my favorite authors is a CPA out of California named Bernie Kamaroff. Kamorroff, and he's a wild and crazy CPA. I mean, this is a Wild West CPA. I love this.
He's not your grandfather's CPA, is he?
Basically, yeah. But he did a book called 422 Tax Deductions. That's the title, 422 Tax Deductions. And what I love about this book is, unlike a lot of them, he does them alphabetically. So if you're looking for depreciation, it's under D.
What a novel idea.
Innovation.
Make it easy for the reader. Who ever heard of such a thing?
Exactly. You know, you look at her equipment deduction, it's under E. It's amazing. I love Bernie Kamaroff. He's a wild and crazy guy. He's somebody you got to get to know too. I think.
Yeah,
he'd be a good guy for your brain trust too, because he's a wild and crazy guy. I've seen him. I've seen him at seminars and programs.
Right. Right.
So, but those are just two good places to start. And then in my eBay Seller's Tax and Legal Answer book, I got a whole chapter for eBay and Amazon merchants on, you know, things that they should be looking at. But start looking at what deductions there are, because the first rule of year-end tax planning, as we all know, there's two basic rules. Get all the deductions you can this year. Cram them in between now and December 31st. If you've got a deductible expense, I get clients who call me up and saying, Cliff, you don't know this. I'm going to hire you in January to do something for me, but can I pay you now?
Right.
You know,
if you've got the cash, if you've got the cash,
be,
and that could be an issue for a lot of people. If you've got the cash, that's not a bad idea. You know, one thing quickly, Cliff, and we can talk about this a little bit more in the future, that I think people should keep a heads up for. I'm afraid in the next administration, we're going to see more about sales tax on online sales. Individual states taking a shot at online sales. What do you think?
Question. Well, look, we all know that there's a tax gap right now of somewhere around $100 billion. That's the gap between what the IRS should be collecting under current law and what they are collecting.
Yep.
You know, the current administration is going to be under a lot of pressure. The new administration is
that,
going to be under a lot
that
of pressure.
That and the states trying to get taxes. So get ready, folks. Gird your loins.
Ready,
it's coming. Hey, Cliff, thanks for being here. Good job today. Good. And break a leg over in California with the entrepreneur folks.
You bet. That's December 9th, and you can find out more about that at entrepreneur.com.
Thanks, Cliff. See you next time. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, reminding you that when opportunity knocks, it doesn't know you've had a bad day. Greet it with a smile.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.